my Lord, my Rock and Redeemer. Amen. When I saw the 23rd Psalm in here for our readings this week, lots of thoughts ran through my head. I don't know if you can recall the first time you ever heard that psalm. And I don't know how many times it has played a big part in your life. But it evokes in me so many different feelings every time. Most recently, it's been joy. And why do I say that? When I arrived here 4 years ago, the borders had just opened from COVID. There was a big service happening down in Bunbury at the cathedral, and my priest in charge from Mandurah was being made a canon of the cathedral that day. So here I was landing in a new country, the furthest part of Australia away from home, and I didn't know who was picking me up. And so arrived, first thing I did, hopped off the plane, there were security with guns. No one in the airport, no one in the car park. You know, it was that time. And so I had been told that the Archdeacon at the time, Venerable Julie Baker, she was had excused herself from the service happening down in Bunbury, and she was coming up to pick me up. I didn't know. I'd seen her on a screen when I talked to her, but I didn't know her personally enough to know who to look for in the airport. And lo and behold, because it was pretty empty, this shortest, if you've met Archdeacon or Reverend Julie Baker before, she's not very tall. And she's walking towards me and I'm like pinching myself thinking, have I landed in Dibley? Because she so looked like Geraldine, right? And as if you've watched The Vicar of Dibley, that's the theme song. Psalm 23. So I'm chuckling and we say hello, we greet each other. As we're coming down the motorway to come back to Mandurah, I confessed to her and I said, you know what? The first time I saw you walking towards me, I thought you were Geraldine on the Vicar of Dibley. And she just laughed. And so joy from thinking of Psalm 23 that it was evoked because of the Vicar of Dibley. There have been times as well where I felt my cup is overflowing and I think of that psalm. And then there are times when I felt depleted and needed to go where pastures are green and where waters are still. And I hope that that does the same thing for you. No matter how we read it, when we read it, it means something different every time. And that's what I find so beautiful about the scripture. And what I was moved about most especially yesterday when I came to be a part of Elijah House. I am so grateful to the ministry Alice delivers on our behalf. Through that ministry, listening to all the wealth and richness of that workshop yesterday. I encourage each and every one of us, if you haven't done Elijah House, go on the website. They have online courses. Talk to Alice. Because I know each and every one of us have challenges in our lives, be it what time of the season we might be at, be it family issues, anything. That ministry has some pearls. It really does. And so blessed were we that they came and had a gathering here in our space. And I feel the pulsing of all that was shared yesterday still resting within me. And I hope it will carry through until she comes back from celebrating her milestone over in South Africa and we tie her to a chair and say, come on, let's do more of this. We need it. Our parish needs it. Our community needs it. The world needs it. It was just moving. So let me take us back to our other readings today. Lent 4 has been traditionally a break in the Lenten marathon, and I'm not sure how you're coping with your Lenten journey, but for a bit of joy and happiness in the Anglican Church, and it's sometimes known as Mothering Sunday, and I know for certain my previous parish are giving out bit of fruitcake and a rosemary, I believe it is. The Mothers Union put it together and give to everybody who comes to church today for Mothering Sunday. Look it up. It's a real UK mother church sort of tradition that's not really adopted here in Australia, but the odd few parishes do follow through with it. As the connection between Mother's Day and Mothering Sunday is not in place here in Australia, it all suddenly seems rather out of place in our Lenten observances and rather out of place when looking at today's readings. Another term used for this fourth Sunday in Lent, which Kwinana are observing today, was Refreshment Sunday. Kwinana have given up technology for Lent. So it's been very interesting. We've been making a lot of joyful noise without video music and things like that. So today, they're doing a bit of taze chanting because we're not using technology. So this was born out of the collect for the day that prayed that God's family, the church, would be refreshed and strengthened by God's grace. Perhaps that is a better term than Mothering Sunday. And yet the qualities of mothering can be seen to shine through the readings and indeed much of scripture, because mothering is bound up with love. However, we have to be careful not to go too far with the connection of motherhood with the love of God. Neither should we do the same with the image of fatherhood, because from a human perspective, we get the stuff wrong all of the time. And if we refer to God's relationship with us as identical to that of a parent, we risk making it difficult for some people to engage with it. Some people who have not had wonderful relationships with parents or children and then can't accept the God who treats them like that type of father or mother has. Perhaps that is why it is better that our readings are not primarily concerned with human mother-child relations. They are hinted at, alluded to, and used to describe in metaphors God's relationship with humanity. But the inspired word of God is not so easily boxed in with the commercial card company's poems and verses. The reality is that when we are born, we are in a constant process of separation from our mothers. The reason that we look for a day to celebrate our mothers is that often we are asserting independence from them. The initial separation from birth is followed by smaller assertions of independence when we learn to walk, to feed ourselves, dress ourselves, the first day of school, the whole process of developing into a person. It is not always an easy process, and sometimes letting go to that next stage of development is very painful. I can appreciate from the other side of the equation of being a mother and letting them go. Parenthood can be described in these terms. Bringing up a child is like handling glass. Think about that. You can do the glass a lot of damage. It can be chipped, cracked, or even smashed to pieces. But even if you are as careful as possible and the glass remains in one piece, what happens? You will still have left your fingerprints on it. I heard a lot of that yesterday. We are all affected by our relationship with our parents, and although we would like those relationships to always be positive, the reality is that this is not always the case. But what of our gospel today? Long as it was, how does that relate? Well, it is an account of Jesus showing that radical and powerful love that causes him to draw negative and possibly dangerous attention to himself on the Sabbath by healing a man blind from birth because he loves him. The people are all accusing this man of being a sinner, or perhaps it was his parents. They would add to his disability the guilt of being responsible for his condition. Jesus just sees a man in distress and his heart goes out to him. Not only does he receive his sight, he is also declared publicly as an innocent in his condition. Jesus seems concerned not so much by the fact that the man was born blind, but that he was being made to suffer for his condition, isolated from his community, unable to work because of his condition, and held up by the religious authorities as the poster boy of sin. If you sin, this will happen to you or your children. How far from love are these thoughts? How very different from the compassion of God that we experience through Jesus. How very distinct from a love a parent feels for their children, whatever their flaws. Jesus described God in the parable of the prodigal son as the person who would be there waiting for us, even if we turn our backs on him completely, which is often the role of a mother. It highlights our understanding that motherhood is about unconditional love. And unconditional love is exactly what we are offered by God. But our calling as Christians is not just to receive the grace of God, but to share it, to forgive as we have been forgiven, to love as we have been loved, perhaps to mother as we have been mothered. And that means all of us, men and women, parents or not, the attributes of care and concern that the word mothering evokes are part of our calling as Christians. Jesus is our pattern and example. We must, like him, engage with people that others reject and see the whole person, not the flaws that are there within us all. We need to consider who are the marginalized of our day. Perhaps it's people with disabilities and not necessarily ones we see. What of those we know with the invisible disabilities of mental health issues? And you look at our statistics of our emergency relief centre, and a lot of the care and support they give people is based on some of those issues. How do we embrace them? Are we still scared to love people with illnesses like AIDS? They've become the lepers of our day. What about drug dependents and the homeless? What about Indigenous people and homosexuals? How do we show love to people despite the difficulties which come with their label? There is no one that Jesus would ignore. No one who would not have experienced the mothering love of God through Christ. My questions to us today: how will we share the radical love of God and love like a mother does? This is God's challenge to us. How will we do it? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.